You're listening to The Leonard LoPate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Michael Phelps was 23 when he set a gold medals record during the 2008 Summer Olympic Games in Beijing. During that competition, Dara Torres, at 41, became the oldest athlete to earn a place on the U.S. Olympic team. Now compare that with Diana Nyad's plans for this summer. She hopes to swim from Cuba to Florida at the age of 61. Last night, Billie Jean King presented Miss Nyad with the 2011 Streb Action Maverick Award, which honors, quote, those brave enough to challenge gravity through transgressive action. It's only the latest of many records and awards that she has been given, and I'm very pleased to welcome Diana Nyad back to our airwaves today. Hello.
Leonard, my pleasure.
Now, I mentioned back to our airwaves. We miss your voice on New York Public Radio. Did NPR decide that swimming wasn't one of the activities they wanted to cover on a regular basis?
Well, you know, I was never a swimming coach. I mean, if you made your living covering swimming, you wouldn't be working very much. You know, I worked for Wide World of Sports for 10 years, and except for the Olympic Games, there's no swimming to cover. So I like to think of myself as much more than a swimmer in all ways, in intellect, body, and mind.
And you did a show called Savvy Traveler.
I did The Savvy Traveler, yeah, which, you know, we did out of L.A., but it was a nationally run show. But, you know, swimming, Leonard, I didn't swim for 31 years.
Now, when you say you didn't swim, does that mean you didn't go into a pool?
I mean, nothing. Rien, nada, not a stroke, anywhere at any time. And so, you know, if you think, you know, swimming has not been my universe for a long, long time. And frankly, I'm as surprised at anyone that I'm back in the thick of it.
Is it like riding a bicycle?
It is in a way. I mean, you know, there's a musculature that's huge when you're at a world-class level, and that had all atrophied quite a bit. I stayed in shape. I have a fitness business and so on. But swimming is a particular musculature.
And swimmers have huge shoulders usually.
Yeah. I'm built right now and much more so. You know, I'm weighing 150 pounds now. I usually weigh 130, and it's all muscle. It's 20 pounds of just, you know, shoulders and lats and triceps and biceps.
So then you decided to go back because you wanted to do the swim?
You know, it really wasn't that. If I had talked to you, Leonard, let's say once a year over this last 30-some years, and we were buddies, and if you would have never heard me say, oh, just, you know, I can't sleep at night. I just, that Cuba swim, it's eating at me. I've had regrets. That was never one of them.
But that you did attempt it many years ago.
I did, 1978. Went for 42 hours west into the Gulf of Mexico and didn't succeed. Did the Bahamas swim the next year, which was the world record. But it just never ate at me. I retired from swimming happily, went on to all, you know, the rest of life. But when I turned 60, almost 2 years ago, I didn't like being 60. It's not the cosmetic thing. I just thought, you know, all my friends, the brilliant lawyers, they're being forced into retirement at 62. And, you know, people at the top of their game feeling old at 60. And I am not old at 60. And most of my fellow 77 million baby boomers. Look, we were the Vietnam protesters. We were the rock and rollers. We are not old at 60. Our mother's generation was. And I decided I wanted to feel empowered and relevant. And I thought, never thought of swimming. And one day I was driving my car and I thought, wait a second. I know what I'll do. That'll make my commitment come back. I'll have to use every ounce of everything that's in me, and I'll show my fellow baby boomers that 60, in fact, is still very relevant.
But you couldn't make the swim when you were, what, 30? 29?
I was 28, Leonard, not even 30 yet. I was a pup. But it wasn't me.
There is deterioration no matter what.
There is. I admit that you know, I'm older than I once was, but that swim was not me. I had everything that it took to make that swim, but like reaching the upper reaches of Everest and K2 and Annapurna, you've got to have weather on your side too. And a huge wind came out of the east and blew 8-foot waves, and I just couldn't make it, and then I couldn't get visas. So I'm a little bit slower than I was, but I'm pretty darn strong. I'm actually as good in the water as I was 30 years ago.
Well, you talk about visas. We are talking about Cuba to the United States, and that's difficult no matter what you want to do.
It is.
So is it any better today than it was?
No, you can't believe it. You read the New York Times every day, and it says, oh, things are opening up, and, you know, the Obama administration is going to be very, you know, friendly pro-Cuba relations. You cannot, if you want to go to Cuba tomorrow, you can't get there. It's just, it's still closed.
You have to go to Mexico and then fly from Mexico City.
Somewhere else. And even then, it's really not legal. Anyway, I have all the visas now. But as the Cubans said to me, you know, we would have approved this right away if you would swim in the other direction. If you would go from Cuba into Havana, we would have a salsa party like you can't believe.
And then say, I want a defect.
Yeah. And
they would have liked that.
They don't like that intimation that you're swimming away. And, you know, maybe Michael Phelps could make it, but I need all the current help I can get.
And that there is current help? Because this is an odd situation going from Cuba to the United States. It kind of looks like a narrow strait. I assume that means that there's all sorts of conflicting currents.
You're right. Like the Bahamas swim I did is the same distance, much easier swim, if you could call it easy. But this swim, the currents are treacherous. They come sweeping out of the press channel of the Yucatan, and that becomes the beginning of the Gulf Stream, which of course goes all the way up the eastern seaboard and over to England. So, but when it comes through, it's shooting to the east. And as a general rule, I'm trying to swim almost due north. If you look at the map, Havana to Key West it's a couple of degrees north-northeast. But I want to go north. I don't want to go east.
So if you go east, you go to Bermuda, don't you?
You go where you don't want to go. You go into the Atlantic and you don't want to be there. So they're going to face me. I got good navigators. It's an expedition.
Well, you tried it last summer.
No, I never tried it. If I had tried it, then I wouldn't be here.
I thought that there was a second attempt.
Well, I didn't go because of A, the Cuban visas, which are now processed, and B, that unprecedented series of Atlantic hurricanes that came across last year. So it was postponed.
And what's the weather report like for this year? Can anybody predict?
Yeah, they say they're going to have another treacherous season of hurricanes, but at least I'll be there early. Because the visas are all done, I'll be there mid-June, ready to go late June, early July. Last year, we didn't get ready to go because of the visas till September.
You did try a 24-hour practice swim.
I didn't try. I did. Uh-huh. I did a 24-hour swim.
Is that how long you have to swim on a regular basis? How long before you take a rest?
You know, Leonard, nobody knows. I'm the only one doing these things. You know, I find that with everything of this, the nutrition, the psychology, you know, things are much more scientific than when I swam years ago. I used to go to the side and get a big glop of peanut butter. Now I know a little bit better. I have electrolytes and things like that. But really, when you consult most of these people, they say, all I can tell you is, as far as we're concerned with our research, this is not humanly possible. You're going to swim for 60 to 65 continuous hours. So who's going to tell me how to train? Nobody knows better than I do. So I'm just at about the end. I'm kind of tapering now. I've been doing 10, 12, 13, 14, 15-hour swims. And I'm just ready. I'm just about ready.
You've broken many records, but one of the ones I remember is your swim around Manhattan.
Yeah,
People at that time wondered, why would you want to go into those murky, dirty waters? Are these waters any cleaner?
Oh, sure. That's crystal clear, absolutely blue waters. But did you mean the New York waters today?
Well, it's cleaner now than it was when you did
cleaner.
It in the 70s.
The cleaner is much now. The Kennedy family worked hard on that. And I mean, I don't think you want to go out and jump off the dock here, you know, and swim across the Hudson every day. But listen, when I went into the Harlem River back then, all the people on the boat cringed and put their hands up and made faces like, oh, God. And I never asked them what they saw in that water.
But
I did have
looking.
I had a massive eye infection at the end, I can tell you that.
Well, someone on my staff who swims the New York events told me that he's given up on one particular event because it's become too crowded.
Which one?
He used to like the piece of swimming under the Brooklyn Bridge, but got kicked in the jaw one time, too many. So has open water swimming become more popular lately?
You know, it has. I'm not sitting here with any statistics, but, the people who run all the, you know, ocean swims around the world are quite in touch with me now because of what I'm doing. And I see how many swims there are from the Grand Cayman to the small Cayman Island, the Hellespont, which is now the Dardanelles. I mean, it's almost like the English Channel has become passé and people are swimming all over the world and triathlons as well.
And the 2008 Olympics were the first to include an open water swimming event.
Yes.
Separate from the triathlon.
Yes, exactly. They now have a 10K event in the ocean. So, you know, the Earth is 1/4 ocean. we might as well start using it, you know.
Well, during the recession, I read that there was a lot more running. People were doing a lot more running. Do you think they're doing a lot more swimming?
I don't know if it's recession tide, but I do think people are swimming more than they used to. All the swimming gear companies, at least, will tell you that. They're selling more gear to middle-aged people than they are to teenagers now.
You have to have a large support team to attempt something like a swim from Cuba. You start in Havana?
Start in Havana on one of the beaches. Every day the currents are different there. They have treacherous counter currents, so you have to read them well with, you know, all kinds of space telemetry and with, you know, all the gear that we've got. But I mentioned the word expedition a couple of minutes ago, and it's quite like that. I think the sport, Leonard, that it's closest to is the big climbs of the big mountains. That's the sensory deprivation. That's the right lobe hallucination that starts, the mental determination to not give up even though you're feeling very poorly in certain valleys of the thing. And I've got 23 people. You know, I've got shark guys who are paddling next to me to make sure I'm not eaten by my last day on Earth doesn't go down to a tiger shark. I've got personal handlers, boat drivers, navigators, and they all need to be sharp and vigilant the whole way across.
And how do you communicate with them?
I come into the boat. I'm never allowed to get out and never allowed to hold on to the boat, but I come close in to the escort boat that's close to me. It depends. Every 2 hours, every hour and a half, and take a little sip of sports drink, and then we talk, you know.
Uh-huh.
And they give me hand signals and whistles and things like that, too.
And that how do you pay for all of that?
Well, I was hoping you'd bring that up. No, it's getting to be about a $400,000 enterprise.
Wow.
Yeah, when you think of the boats, the fuel, the personnel, the airfare, and all that, and Secret's one of my sponsors, which is cool, and I work for a fantastic, state-of-the-art, Ohio-based new academy of sports and named Spire. They're sponsoring me, but I'm still looking. I'm still pounding the pavement.
My guest is Diana Nyad, who is about to attempt to swim from Havana to Florida. I guess
anywhere I can get.
The tippy tip of Florida.
Key West would be nice, but you know, when I see land, Leonard, I don't care what it is. I'll be there.
And Columbus felt the same way.
It's very similar. People say to me, but you know, the press people say, oh, but it wouldn't be good if you finished in the night because we won't get a great pick. Try to finish in the day. I said, believe me, if I come over and it's 2 o'clock in the morning, I'm not going to tread water out there until sunrise.
She'll be 61 when she makes the attempt.
Yeah.
When is your birthday?
It's in August, so I hope to be still 61 when this happens.
And we'll be back right after this. We're back with Diana Nyad, who is in New York now, planning, she hopes, to eventually go down to Havana and attempt a swim that nobody else has ever attempted from Havana to Florida?
Two people have gone across in shark cages, and mine's without the shark cage. I don't blame people. Those are dangerous sharks, except for the great whites. They're the white tips, the lemons, the tigers. And, you know, you talk to any shark expert, they'll tell you that for thousands of years, they're very smart. And they know, they're trained to know that when the little low-frequency noise that a swimmer makes with a freestyle kick, to them, that's a dinner bell. That's a dying, wounded fish, and they'll come from miles away. And, you know, every shark expert will tell you, don't think just because you're in the midst of a flotilla of boats with motors that shark won't come right up the center and take your leg. And when I hear that, I like to be in a shark cage, too, and I have swum in them. I don't blame the two swimmers who did it, but I want no asterisk next to my name. It's not the same as being out in the open sea.
Well, you don't take steroids,
no,
do you?
I don't. Maybe I should. Nobody's going to test me for that. They don't care. But a shark cage, you know, it has big walls on it. And so any wave that comes gets dissipated. It has big caging.
So it makes it easier.
Well, of course. You're swimming in the side of a protected pool.
And can your spotters always spot a shark? Or
no,
do they sometimes
no.
swim underwater and you don't see that little fin?
I wouldn't leave it to spotters. First of all, we'll go through two periods of night. And we have no idea if the moon will be out, you know. So I have divers, what they call safety divers, but it's not up to them. There's an electronic piece called a shark shield, and if you saw the film of this, you'd believe in it. They put if you don't mind my saying so on your air, a bloody horse's leg on a surfboard in Australia. Filmed this from helicopters. Mm. Sharks came in from 3-4 miles away, decimated that meat immediately. The next day, they put another bloody horse's leg and put this shark shield. You know, just picture it like a long antenna, and it sends out an elliptical field of electricity, about 12 feet in both directions. The sharks came in, 5,000 of them over 2 days, never touched that leg. They writhe. They're so uncomfortable in that electric field that they don't want anything to do with it. And if I sound like I believe it, I'm trying to talk myself into it. So that's my protection, with a couple of safety divers up top.
Well, you've never had to deal with sharks in the past?
You know, I have.
Bimini.
Yep.
Aren't there sharks out there as well?
I've bumped into a couple, but we did the Bimini swim without a shark cage, just with divers, you know, looking around. They look at sonar. If they see a big body, it might be a grouper, might be a sailfish. They dive down, do a little, play with it. There's no doubt that the sharks are a risk. But I think this shark shield, I think it works, and I believe in it.
What about some of the other things you have to deal with? You mentioned the currents. What about hypothermia?
That's probably number one. Bingo. That's number one. I feel like everything else is under control. We won't go this time unless the weather is perfect. And we can predict weather a lot better than we could 30 years ago, some 30 years ago.
How cold does it get, even though you're...
You know, you couldn't call it cold. Like, if you were on vacation and you went down and the Gulf Stream is 85 degrees, you'd say, oh, guys, it's kind of uncomfortable. I wish it were a little cooler. You know, it's not comfortable. But picture, when you take a bath... Let's say you set it to, you're rested. You're not swimming for 40, 50, 60 hours, which this is going to be. You feel cold. You know, you're reading the paper, and a few minutes later, you put some more hot water in. Because anytime it goes below your body temperature, you're cold. Well, imagine if you're spending, I lost 29 pounds in the 42 hours of the Cuba swim last time. 29 pounds.
How close did you get to Florida?
I went 79 miles. So I was just going the wrong direction. I was going toward Mexico.
You know, when I go swimming, that's what often happens with me. I think I'm going to the shore, and I wind up being pulled further and further out.
You have to be adaptable as you're out there. But my point about the cold is that in the beginning it will feel hot, and the problem is dehydration. So it's always coming in, getting enough fluids, and I use a little sipper, you know, rather than hold a cup. And then the second half of the swim, the problem is going to be hypothermia. Because now, okay, you're in 85, maybe even 86 degree water. That doesn't feel hot anymore because you're at 98.6 and you're lost a lot of weight, calories, even muscle tissue. And your hypothermia, if anything gets me, that's going to be it.
Some swim geeks I know wanted me to ask you a couple of questions.
You know some swim geeks?
Yeah.
Nice.
What's your breathing pattern on long distances?
Well, I thought we were going to talk more philosophically, but I breathe to the left
at
60 times a minute. Yeah, exactly 60 times
a
minute.
So every second?
Every second, yeah.
And do you ever change a stroke?
Never, because you're trying to get there as fast as you can, freestyle.
When you get a Charlie horse in the middle of an event, how do you get rid of it?
You just swim.
You just swim it out?
Just swim. I never even stop. And I rarely get them anymore. I haven't had one in 2 years with this training.
And finally, with a little thanks in parentheses, he writes, any tips for sighting?
So he's trying to just sight ahead,
yeah.
So he sees. You know, I think the thing is that you got to keep your eyes at about water level. And so you breathe to the side, breathe to the side, breathe to the side, and then every 20 or 30 strokes, you know, before you take that head turn to the side, you get your eyes up at water level. Don't big lift of the head, just right at the level right here along the surface, and you see the buoys, you see the other swimmers, and then you go back to the side. Is that all for the geeks?
Well, I hope so.
I hope you satisfied them.
When I think of recent household name swimmers, I think of the sprinters.
Yeah.
Michael Phelps can go a fairly long distance, but it's still a sprint by your standards.
Well, he doesn't go any fairly long distances, Michael Phelps.
Well, maybe four times across the pool.
Yeah. I mean, 400 meters would be his longest, yeah.
In your niche of the sport, the challenge is just getting from point A to point B as opposed to getting there the fastest.
Yeah, I mean, I can't be concerned with the time. You know, listen, Leonard, if I do this swim, I'll be the first person to do it, you know, without a shark cage, and that'll go down in the record books. And then, you know, some younger person might come out and do it in 20 hours quicker than I do. I don't care.
Well, once Gertrude Ederle did the British,
the
English
yeah.
Channel, a lot of people started doing it, but she was the first.
She was the first woman. Men had done it, yeah.
Well, is there all that much different, finally, when you're doing distance? I mean, obviously men have more more bulk? And but
that's a good question. A lot of women swim quite well. Oh yeah, I think
better than me.
I think at this distance, it probably does come down to mental more than physical. As a matter of fact, I'll be so bold as to say I'm not sure there's another person on the planet at the moment who could make this swim, man, woman, young. I think I'm the only person right this moment, this summer, who could make this swim. So, you know, that makes the gender differentiation. But if I'm going to swim only like 10, 15 miles and I line up with a bunch of guys, the chances are if they're good swimmers, they're going to get there before me.
Well, the reason I ask is there was a time when it was always pointed out that a swimmer was a woman.
It's true.
And I didn't do that at the beginning, not because I was making a point, because it didn't even occur to me.
Yeah. No, it's
something
true.
Has happened, hasn't it?
You know, it's true. But actually, the whole history of the sport, there have been some very famous, you know, it started with Gertrude Ederle, but there have been some famous distant swimmers who are women. You know, they've called them the mermaids of the sea, and there have been a lot of movies written about them, made about them and things. So women have been good in the ocean and in distance swimming for 100 years now.
Do you notice any different in your training from when you were younger?
You know, I'm burlier. I was a little more fragile. I was faster back in that day, but I was more like a racehorse, and now I'm more like a Clydesdale.
A listener, Gwen from Manhattan, writes, if you feel pain, do you try to talk to it or try to ignore it?
You know, there's all kinds of pain. You can feel seasick. You can have a bad Portuguese man of war sting, which can cause hallucinations, vomiting, et cetera. So, you know, I'll just take pain as, are you having trouble? You know, it's like a boxer. When you feel great, that first round, you've trained in the Poconos, and you're going to be the champ, and you say, come on, bring it on. It's only a 12-round fight. Make it 15. I don't care. Then you get clocked, and you see little birdies, not that I've ever boxed, and your arms are so heavy you can't hold them up, and then you go back to the corner, and you say to your guys, I want out. You know, I don't want to finish the fight, and they have to talk you into it. Come on. You know, not only is there $1 million on the line, but you said there's your pride. You said you want to do this. We're going to get you through this, unless you're, you know, delirious and you're going to have brain damage. And it's the same with me. I have peaks and valleys. You're not going to go for 2.5 days feeling great. So when the pain comes, Gwen, the answer for me is to say I go to my people and I say I'm having trouble. How can I get through? The shoulder's hurting. The stomach's feeling really upset. How can we get through it? And they help me. I'm not good on tough love. I don't want somebody yelling, come on, you sissy. Get going. I don't like that. But they'll help me get through it, just like a boxer corner ring. And we get through it. I will never quit on my own.
Well, you've mentioned hallucinations more than once.
Have I?
Yes.
Yeah, I look forward to them, I guess.
what are we talking about? This isn't like LSD, is it?
Well, you know, you're going to catch me as a 60s a child who would admit to have done LSD.
Well, I've read about it.
Yeah, exactly. I read about it. You can go pretty far out there. You're pretty far out there.
So you suddenly think you're in other places?
I thought that seagulls were dive bombing my head and ripping apart my forehead and making blood. And I was told there were no birds at all. I was worried about some people on the shore that were going to come out and get us. And there was no shore at all. I thought a guy on my swim last year on the 24-hour swim, he's a very blonde guy in the kayak. He just doesn't grow facial hair easily. And when I stopped at one point, I looked up and I said, Alex, do you mean from the beginning of this swim to now you've grown that gigantic Santa Claus-looking beard? He said, I don't have a beard at all. It's smooth. So, yeah, you see things you don't see. And then you trip out. You start thinking of the meaning of the universe. And is there an edge to the universe? Or does it go to infinity?
But this is after the thing you've gone for a while. What do you think about when you're just swimming normally?
I sing songs and count numbers. It's sort of like mountain climbers say that too. You know, they'll sing the bear went over the mountain 5,000 times and that gets them another couple miles.
I have to clear up something else. Is it true that you were expelled from Emory University?
It's so embarrassing. I'm glad my mother's not alive still to hear us even talk about this.
Well, you've been revealing all sorts of things from your past.
I can barely remember them. I can barely remember them. But I was kind of a desperado. Went through sexual abuse as a teenager. Got off to college feeling lost.
Is that typical with coaches?
Yeah, I think it's an epidemic, and it's not just coaches. We can see it's in our society. It's an epidemic with all kinds of.
Hearing about coaches.
Lots of coaches, and this particular coach molested a number of people and has skated free. So I'm not out to live my life around getting him behind prison and whatnot. I just talk about it because, you've got a kid and the kid's going away for the weekend with the team coach, whatever. Watch it, and you say, no, he's the most charismatic guy. He's a great guy. Well, watch it even worse. You might watch it more.
The more charismatic, the more dangerous.
Yeah, I think so. So I went off to college and it wasn't Emory University. It's a great institution. I loved the Southern accents there. I was in a bad time in my life and I acted out. I was desperately immature. I parachuted out of the 4-story window of my dorm, which, by the way, if your audience just wants one nugget of edification on this show.
Too brief for a parachute jump?
I learned the hard way. I did not do the correct, physics research on this. You must be higher than the force for the chute to even plume, much less open fully. So they thought that was a suicide attempt and asked me to leave. And it wasn't. I was just being, hey, look at me.
Well, you like to put yourself in danger, obviously. And I mentioned Billie Jean King, who presented you with the 2011 Streb Action Maverick Award last night.
Yeah, yeah. How's that for an award? The Action Maverick. I love
what
it.
What does that mean?
Well, Elizabeth Streb, and you've got to know.
Oh, yeah. She's a dancer who does
wild.
Grappling.
She's kind of an avant-garde dancer. They did a it's down in Brooklyn. It's called the Slam Performance Center. And I had never known it. And I tell you something, these dancers are incredible. And kids come and watch them, and it's a little avant-garde, progressive, but she just takes no prisoners. This woman, Elizabeth Streb, is way out there. She's philosophical. She talks about the molecular structure of the universe, and she's a trip. And Billie Jean introduced me, my great privilege, and I won it's called the Action Maverick Award. Philippe Petit first won it 6 years ago, and they've had other terrific people. And I guess it's just people who aren't sitting around much eating bonbons.
Well, I wish you luck on this attempt.
Leonard, thank
you.
And
if you don't, if the weather or something else prevents you, are you going to try it again next year?
I can't answer that. It's like asking somebody, if you don't win Wimbledon this year, will you play it again next year? I'm going to say to my team, though, the night before when we're in Havana, I'm going to say, this is it. Just like I am not going to quit when I'm out there, all you shark people, don't let me get eaten by a shark. All you navigators, get me across. And, let's all do our jobs and get there. I don't want to do this twice.
Well, you'll have proven that you could do it at 61. That's all that matters.
And to come full circle in our conversation, that's the point.
Diana Nyad, thank you so much for being with us.
Honestly, it was my pleasure, Leonard.